pours out speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. There's no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. It's saying that, like, the sky and all its beauty and the trees and creation and everything about that God has made is, like, proclaiming or saying how great God is. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool. I wonder what it sounds like. Like, I wonder what a tree sounds like. What do you guys think a tree would sound like? Isn't that kind of a weird thought? What if you could hear? You know that Jesus one time, he was riding in on a donkey. You guys know that story where he rides in on a donkey and they put down the plants and stuff? And then there were some people that were upset that people were screaming out so much, Hosanna, Hosanna. And Jesus was like, you know what? If they don't say this, the rocks are going to cry out. I'm like, what do rocks sound like? What would that be like to hear a rock being like, Hosanna, right? And I was walking by all of these rocks. And I was like, weird. What if you could hear creation? So this made me think of something else. Do you guys know that right now there's a bunch of music in the air? Do you believe me? Can you hear any music? No. Okay. So there is such a thing as radio waves. And you guys might be used to, like, in your van or something, setting the radio, like, to exactly, like, 106.5, and it, like, comes on, right? But back in the olden days, we used to have alarm clocks or radios that were like this, okay? And when you turned it on, there would be a way for you to pick up radio waves. And so if we turn it on, what do you hear? It's a lot of static, right? You can't really hear anything. But if you tune it to exactly the right one, you can start to hear different songs. Let's see if we can find a song. Okay, so you can hear these songs. Okay, but you got to be tuned exactly right. So I had this thought. I was like, what if creation is like that? And all we need to do is kind of tune ourselves to kind of like hear creation worshiping God and praising God. It's like, that's a really cool thought. Like, maybe creation's been singing this whole time, and we just haven't been tuned into it. So, you guys are going to help me out. You guys are going to be like a really, really big radio, okay? So, what I need you to do is you're going to pretend you're creation. You can pick whether you're a tree or a flower or a plant or grass. Can everyone say ah for me really quick? Aw. Awesome. Everyone say it. Ready? Okay, I'm going to be like the radio, okay? And when I get in front of you, you have to say, ah, okay? Ready? Awesome. So that's like tuning to creation, right? As soon as I'm tuned in and listening to creation, I can hear it. Now, this is a cool thought. What if creation, if you imagine creation is like praising God with all of its voice, what if creation is really loud? Like, what if the trees and the birds and the flowers and the rocks and the water and the air is like yelling at the top of its lungs in praise to God? Okay? So you guys are going to help me with this. Can you guys say glory to God? Awesome. Can you guys say it louder? Okay, why don't you guys stand up? Let's get some air in the diaphragms. Now, say it again. Ready? How much louder do you guys? That's like a 2 out of 10, right? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Glory to God! So what if creation is like yelling out at the top of its lungs, glory to God! Over and over and over. And it's like, what if creation's voice was getting sore, right? Because it just kept on saying, you guys ever been to like a basketball game and it goes into overtime and you're cheering so loud and your throat hurts, but you have to cheer for your team? It's like creation. And they're like, it has to praise God. It has to worship God. So I'm going to be the radio. You guys need to make your parents upset of how loud you screamed, okay? Are you ready? Take a deep breath. You're going to yell out glory to God when I get in front of you. Ready? Because you're going to be the radio. Ready?
Glory to God!
Glory to God! All right. Good stuff. You guys can have a seat. You can stay there. You guys are going to do some more. That's what we're doing this morning is we want to tune ourselves to hear creation singing out glory to God, and it invites us to join in the song. Let's stand up, and we're going to sing this song, Glory to God, forever.
was made before you spoke it to be. You were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. And now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out. We join them as we sing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. We're joining with creation. Creator God, you gave me breath so I could praise your great and matchless name all my days, all my days. So let my whole life be a blazing offering, a life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God.
You can have a seat. So creation reminds us to worship, to hear the song, to join along, but it also reminds us of how creative God is. He didn't have to make the world this unique. He could have made everything exactly the same, everything gray, everything the same. He didn't have to make that many animals or that many flowers or that many trees. Or all varieties of people, and his creativity is something unique. So Mason is going to help us understand that a little bit better.
God shows how creative he is in creation. Here are some examples. An ostrich's eye is bigger than its brain. Porcupines can float in water, which is why you don't need porcupine lifeguards. A grizzly bear's bite is strong enough to crush a bowling ball. If a cheetah were to merge onto the highway, it would get up to a speed of 100 kilometers an hour in only 3 seconds, which is faster than a lot of supercars. The ears of a cricket are located on the front leg, just below the knee. You can use crickets to find the current temperature. Just count the number of chirps in 14 seconds and add 40. A blue whale is able to produce sound up to 188 decibels and has been heard away from 530 miles underwater. That's like a whale in Vancouver making a sound and someone in Edmonton hearing it. A crocodile's tongue is attached to the roof of its mouth. Flamingos are naturally white. The food they eat is what turns them pink. I wonder if we could turn them orange if we fed them carrots. The heart of a giraffe is 2 feet long and can weigh as much as 24 pounds. Flying fish can jump out of the water and glide up to 655 feet. That's longer than 2 football fields. Shrimp have their hearts in their heads. Octopus have pupils that are rectangular instead of circles. Starfish have the ability to turn their stomachs inside out. Hummingbirds can't walk, but they flap their wings 70 times in a single second. Beaver's teeth never stop growing. It needs to chew on tree trunks and branches to keep them from getting too long. The tiny 2-inch-long golden poison dart frog has enough venom to kill 10 full-grown adults. Wombats have cube-shaped poop. Peregrine falcons dive bomb their prey and reach up to dive speeds at to 620 kilometers per hour. Scorpions glow under ultraviolet light, which makes them popular at parties. Leopards can jump 50 feet. That's like lining up 3 cars end to end and a leopard jumping over it. An average elephant sleeps for about 2 hours per day, which is why they are the only animal who drinks coffee. Just kidding. These are just small examples of how amazingly creative and powerful God is.
All right, kids, we're going to get you to stand up. You may or may not know this song. And Lynn, if you want to come up and help do some actions. Mason, you know the actions too, so you can stand in front of the kids. It goes like this. We're going to sing it slowly and speed up. All right. Do you guys think the adults should do the actions with you? Yeah, I think so. Okay, everyone's going to stand up. We're going to help out the kids because it's new for them too. So it starts off with who's the king? You're going to do a little crown like this. Can everyone do a crown? Just got to put who's the king of the jungle? And then you do like a little monkey. Who, who? Okay. Who's the king of the sea? And you go. Blah, 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 blah. Who's the king of the universe? You just do a nice big universe. And who's the king of me? And then you just do your hands like, I say J-E-S-U-S. You're going to count them out. If you can count to 5, you're good. Yes. He's the king of me. He's the king of the universe. We're just repeating now. The jungle and the sea. All right? So it goes like this. Who's the king of the jungle? Who's the king of the sea? Who's the king of the universe and who's the king of me? Well, I say J-E-S-U-S. Yes, he's the king of me. He's the king of the universe, the jungle and the sea. So you didn't know you were getting exercise today, but that's free, no charge. It's like worship calisthenics or something. And what we're going to do is we're going to slowly speed up, so see if you can keep up, all right? Who's the king of the jungle? Who's the king of the sea? Who's the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? Well, I say J-E-S-U-S. Yes, he's the king of me. He's the king of the universe, the jungle and the sea. Who's the king of the jungle? Who's the king of the sea? Who's the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? Well, I say J-E-S-U-S. Yes, he's the king of me. He's the king of the universe, the jungle and the sea. We still got a few people with us. It's great. Who's the king of the jungle? Who's the king of the sea? Who's the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? Well, I say J-E-S-U-S. Yes, he's the king of me. He's the king of the universe, the jungle and the sea. Can we do warp speed? Is that okay? Can we do it? Who's the king of the jungle? Who's the king of the sea? Who's the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? Well, I say J-E-S-U-S. Yes, he's the king of me. He's the king of the universe, the jungle and the sea. Yeah! Awesome. Okay, kids, you can go back and sit with your parents. awesome. So we get a sense from creation. It invites us to worship. It reminds us of just how creative our God is, the complexity and the uniqueness of every aspect of creation. Creation also reminds us how big God is. As we come into this next part, I invite you, we're going to say this prayer out together. We'll put it up on the screen as a start to our this next section. Let's sing this out. Let's read this out together. Almighty and everlasting God, you made the universe with all its marvelous order, its atoms, worlds, and galaxies, and the infinite complexity of living creatures. Grant that, as we probe the mysteries of your creation, we may come to know you more truly and more surely fulfill our role in your eternal purpose. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. One of the things that creation does is it also reminds us that we are not the center of the universe. Sometimes we live our life, and this is our view, and everything happens to us and around us. But sometimes when you look at the stars, or you start to realize how big this universe is that we are part of, taking up this little gym on this earth, in this universe, it's a sobering fact of how big God is and what he created. So we're going to watch this video. It describes the Earth in relation to some other stars, just to give you a sense of how big the universe is. Let's watch that. Just one of the stars in the billions of galaxies. So as we sing this song, I invite you to stand. As we sing this song, God of Wonders, Beyond Our Galaxy, I invite you to think of what you really mean when you say that. And you think of the vastness and the expanse and the hugeness of our galaxy.
Of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. Yeah, God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy. creation of water, earth, and sky. The heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty, you are holy, holy. Lord of heaven. Declares your majesty, you are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and
earth. We're going to just sing together this simple phrase. It goes like this. And holy, the earth is filled with your glory. And all creation sings holy. The earth is filled with your glory. And all creation sings praise. All of creation beckons me to worship you. The grandeur of the universe echoes your glory. More than spectacular is the work of your hands. Who can match your brilliance and authority? You set boundaries for the ocean. You raise majestic mountains to touch the sky. Sunrise and sunset happens on your watch. Holy, the earth is filled with your glory, and all creation sings holy. The earth is filled with your glory, and all creation sings praise. Who is humankind that you are mindful of us? The frail sons and daughters that you would entrust us rule over all you've made. Who are peoples of the earth that we get to bear your image, God?
And holy, the earth is filled with your glory. And all creation sings holy. The earth is filled with your glory. And all creation sings praise.
Who am I that you even notice me? How can it be that my tears and dreams matter to you? Eternal God, beyond time, beyond space, who am I that you would lean in when I draw near? The wind and the sea obey at your command, yet you invite me to follow you with a whisper. Holy God, you know my hidden sin, yet you offer me new mercies every morning. Great and awesome are you, Lord. There is none like you. Let's sing it one more time.
And holy, the earth is filled with your glory. And all creation sings holy. The earth is filled with your glory. And all creation sings praise.
This is a great quote by G.K. Chesterton. It says this: the thing I mean can be seen, for instance, in children when they find some game they specifically enjoy. A child kicks his legs rhythmically through excess, not absence of life. Because children have abounding vitality, they are in spirit fierce and free. Therefore, they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, do it again. Have you kids ever said that when you're having fun? Push me again on the swing. Let's do it again. And the grown-up person does it again until he's just wiped out. For grown-up people are not strong enough to exult in monotony. That means grown-ups have a hard time enjoying and really, really being thrilled with doing things over and over and over again. But perhaps God is different. Perhaps God is strong enough to exult in monotony. It's possible that God says every morning, do it again to the sun, and every evening, do it again to the moon. It may not be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but has never got tired of making them. It may be that he has the eternal appetite of infancy, for we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we. I love that reminder that God never gets tired of running creation. Having the sun rise each morning, having the flowers grow each day, having the kids grow up. Every morning, he wakes up and says, let's do the whole thing again.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God, all powerful, untamable. Awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow? Who imagined the sun and gave source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night? None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky, know them by name. You are amazing, God, all powerful, untamable. Awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God, indescribable. indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky, you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, our trap we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing. Amazing God, you are amazing God, you are amazing God. One
of the common traits of creation, you can have a seat, is creation's beauty. Think in your mind right now of something you saw in creation that made you actually say something out loud. Do you remember a time when that happened, when you're like, oh, or wow, or you actually poke someone, you're like, check out the sunset. Beauty is just all over creation. And every once in a while we sing these songs about God that say things like, God, you're beautiful. And sometimes that's a little bit tricky for me. I'm like, I don't actually see God in front of me, so it's hard for me to say that God's beautiful. But then I had this thought about all the beauty in the world was created by God. And so what is it like to be the creator of beauty, the one who invented it? And you think, if everything that God made is this beautiful, then He's the source of that. How beautiful must He be? And so I think that creation in all of its beauty does that for us. It points us and reminds us of how beautiful God is. There's a quote by N.T. Wright that says this: all the beauty of the world, the beauty that calls our admiration, our gratitude, our worship at the earthly level, is meant as a set of hints, of conspiratorial whispers, of clues and suggestions and flickers of light, all nudging us into believing that behind the beautiful world is not random chance, but the loving God. I see your face in every sunrise. The colors of the morning are inside your eyes. The world awakens in the light of the day. I look up to the sky and say, you're beautiful, Lord. Oh. I see your power in the moonlit night, where planets are in motion and galaxies are bright. We are amazed in the light of the stars. It's all proclaiming who you are. You're beautiful.
Oh, you're The colors of the morning are inside your eyes. The world awakens in the light of the day. I look up to the sky and say, you're beautiful. We have the benefit of living with mountains nearby. I get to have coffee on my back porch and look up at a mountain every morning if I want. And it's inspiring. The beauty of that is inspiring. And in Psalm 121, it always reminds me of this verse from the Psalms. It says this, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And it's interesting because you think of that verse and you think of it while you're looking at mountains, but that's probably not the first question that pops into my head when I look at a mountain. Where does my help come from? Maybe the psalmist was thinking like, okay, the mountain's really powerful, or the mountain is like a strong thing, and so I can remember that God is strong. But what's interesting is that a lot of scholars believe that when the psalmist wrote this, he'd look up on the mountain and he would actually see a bunch of altars for other gods. And so you look up to those other gods, and he asks himself, does my help come from them? No. Where does my help come from? And then it's really interesting because the distinguishing feature of Yahweh, of God, of the God that we follow, he's not a created God. He's not an object. He's not an idol. He's not something constructed. He is the creator, the maker of heaven and earth. And so creation reminds us that our God is the source of all things. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He's the uncreated God. And it's this God that saves us. This God that gives us help when we need it. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You're my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me. Come and give me life. Help come from My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the earth. You know, we use this word, you're the Lord of all creation. And in the same way that we say, well, if creation is worshiping you and praising you, I want to join that song. I want to join in singing glory to God. If creation calls you Lord, how do we respond to that? What does it mean for us to also call him Lord? So we're going to listen to this song. There's a video that you're going to watch with the lyrics. And it's got a bunch of these phrases. If creation worships you, so will I. If creation obeys you, so will I. And invite you to consider, what is your response to God as you see creation?
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath, the planets form. And if the stars were made to worship, so alive, I can see your heart in everything you made. Every burning star, signal fire of grace. And if creation sings your praises, so will I. Don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath. Evolving in pursuit of what you said. And if it all reveals your nature, so alive, I can see. Every painted sky, canvas of yours.
chase down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Well, you lost your life so I can find it here. And if you left the grave behind you so alive, I can see your heart. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart in a billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to. You gave your life to love them so alive, like you would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
Let's stand together. This makes me think of this chorus. What does it mean for us to say these words, Lord, reign in me? Let's sing that chorus together. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power. Over all my dreams, in my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. Won't you reign in me again? Over every thought, over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord, 'cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. Won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power, over all my dreams, in my
darkest bow. You are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me. Reign in your power over all my chains. In my darkest bow, you are the Lord.
Have a seat. So beside us here, we have this cross. And we give it a name. It's two pieces of wood shaped like a T, but we call it a cross. And if I asked you, what does that mean? You would probably have a lot of things to say, typically. You're like, when I look at that, I remember things like who Jesus was, that God sent his son, that he died on a cross, that my sins are forgiven, that the cross is empty, that he rose again. There's lots and lots of things that those two pieces of wood symbolize to us, right? And so that's typically referred to as an icon. We have icons on our phones. And again, what is that? It's just a thing you tap and you're like, what is that little picture? You're like, oh, that's Netflix, right? You know that there's a whole bunch of things behind it. So what's interesting is that icons are really helpful because they can help you to trigger and think of things that are important to you. So you might wear a cross necklace, or you might tattoo a cross like on your wrist or something or whatever it is, as a way of saying, I want to remember that constantly. I want to always be reminded of what Jesus did for me on the cross. And it's really powerful that way. But what if creation was like the biggest icon ever that's always with you? It's like this thing that we have constant access to that is there as a way to constantly remind us all the stuff we just talked about this morning. I think the biggest challenge with that, at least for me, is that you totally get used to it. You just get used to creation being amazing. Have you ever had people from the prairies be like, oh, the mountains are amazing here? And you're like, nah, yeah, they're nice. But like, you just get used to it, right? Someone comes from another country, they're like, I've never seen snow. And you're like, oh, can you please stop? I don't want school to be canceled. We got to shovel the driveway. They're like, snow is amazing. We just kind of get used to it, right? I was on a plane flight. I sat beside a Navy captain, which is really interesting. We had like a 3-hour flight. So we had a big conversation. I asked him, what was the biggest thing that he notices when he's on the ship for 3 straight months? What does he miss the most? He says, the feel of grass underneath my bare feet. And I'm like, that happened to me yesterday. I had no feelings about that. But you're right. That is a cool moment. That is a cool thing. And so I think there's something interesting for us as we go from here to think about how can we maybe be more aware of the wonder in creation all around us every day. You know, in the same way we kind of tune that radio, what is that exercise that makes you tune in to be amazed by creation? And probably it's actually a little bit overwhelming if you try to take it all in, but sometimes picking like specific items and being like, what if I thought about this a little bit deeper than I am right now? Hey kids, did any of you have cereal this morning for breakfast? Raise your hand if you had cereal. Any kids have cereal? Did any kids have Fruit Loops? Are you allowed to have Fruit Loops? We don't have Fruit Loops in our house. We're going to pretend, though, that you had Fruit Loops for breakfast, okay? And what exactly could you think about in terms of creation being amazing and God being amazing over a bowl of Fruit Loops? So first of all, you've got, like, the fact that there is soil and you've got seeds that can be planted that can grow wheat, that can grow grain. The grain can be harvested, and we somehow make that into these lovely O-shaped things of deliciousness. And they're sitting there in your bowl because the sun and the rain and all of that together made the grain grow. And then the fact that you can even see the colors of the Fruit Loops is because your eyes are catching the light reflecting off of that, and your brain's saying that's red, that's green, that's blue. I mean, that's just amazing in and of itself. You're pouring out milk, which is from a cow that ate some grass, that processed it, that somehow turns into milk that you like, that is good for you. And you're pouring it in because you live in a world where there's gravity. And the gravity makes the milk fall out of that container into your bowl of Cheerios. And then you can eat it, and somehow your body knows that the Fruit Loops shouldn't go into your lungs. How does it know that? I don't know, but it does. You can breathe in, you get air, but you can eat and swallow, and it goes into your stomach. And then your stomach knows exactly what to do. It takes all the good stuff and gives you nutrients and energy so you can live your life. And like, that's just like a sliver of everything that's going on that morning while you're having your bowl of Fruit Loops. And all of it is actually pretty amazing. Except for the nutrients part. These are new organic Fruit Loops that are filled with your daily dose of fiber. So, but just to say, I know for me, I've tried a few times this week. So I'm like driving into work. I'm like, what would I think about right now? What could I make my mind think about? And I mean, of course, some of the softballs are like, yeah, the beautiful mountains, the beautiful sky, a sunset, the flowers. A lot of those things where we just see beauty. But sometimes you're like, I'm breathing air. And it's like the right mix of oxygen and other things for me to be alive right now. You're like, I don't even have to think about it. My lungs are doing that. Like, God, you're amazing. And so all of these little moments we can have end up serving as an icon that don't just point us to like being like creation is cool. That's not the point. In the same way that the point isn't like that is some beautiful wood. You're not supposed to get hung up on the actual icon itself. What you're celebrating is the meaning of the icon. And so what does it all mean? When we see creation, when we're amazed by creation, we are reminded that creation is singing God's worship. And it invites us to sing along. Creation is hoarse. It can barely keep singing because it's sung for so long and so hard. And it says, sing along with me. Creation reminds us that we have a God who is infinitely creative in the way he made everything and even in the way he made us. Creation reminds us of his massive power and scope. If you thought God was in a little box or like a person being like, he made the expanse of the universe. It reminds us of beauty and that the creator of beauty must be incredibly beautiful. It reminds us that he's the uncreated God. He's not an idol. He's not a piece of wood. He's the maker of the heavens and earth. It reminds us that he's the Lord of all creation, and we are invited to also use that word with him and say, you, God, are my Lord. I serve you and I obey you. And most of all, creation reminds us that God is a real thing, that he exists. In Romans 1, it says this, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, all of creation, so that people are without excuse. What a great gift God has given us. Each and every day we get to wake up in this creation with this reminder right in front of our face of all these incredible things that God is and has done for us. Let's stand. We're going to close off with this final song. I have felt the wind blow, whispering your name. I have seen your tears fall when I watched the rain. How could I say there is no God when all around creation calls a singing bird, mighty tree, a vast expanse of open sea.
gazing at a bird in flight, soaring through the air, lying down beneath the stars. I feel your presence there, and I love to stand at ocean shore and feel the thundering breakers roar, to walk through golden fields of grain, beneath endless blue horizons frame. Of a rose in bloom, a newborn's cry of birth. How can I say there is no God when all around creation calls a singing bird, a mighty
God, thank you for the gift of creation, this constant and ever-present reminder of our great Creator. This week, God, would you open our eyes to see you in a new and a fresh way through all the things and experiences we have in creation this week. Amen. Go in peace.